Call to order the regular town council meeting September 12, 2022 at 6:01. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Matt Zardecki.
Present.
Town manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
Town attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
And clerk treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
Please join us for prayer and if all about the pledge of allegiance. We have Jerry Bryan from Kingdom of Life Church.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We come to you with humble hearts, Lord, and I thank you, first of all, for this beautiful day you've given us. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would bless this meeting, that you'd help each one to express what needs to be expressed and business at hand. And I just thank you, Lord, for the service of the council, Lord, and what they contribute to the community and the work they do. And again, I just ask you to bless each one in this room and I ask you to bless this night. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented.
I have a motion to amend the agenda as it's presented and move the Hogan property for new business.
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Approval of minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, also noted on our website.
So moved.
And motion by Matt. I have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Approval of allowance claims also submitted by the clerk treasurer and noted upon our website. That motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Matt. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Approval payroll allowance documents also submitted by the clerk treasurer and also up on our website.
So moved.
Motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Take a minute here to sign the documents. And from the public this evening. The first item on here is our amended option, I guess I'm going to say, your motion that we had earlier. It's ordinance number 2022-023. It's has with the ordinance vacating the public right of way or way, vacation of the public ways pursuant to the petition filed by Fifth Third National Bank. I think Justin, and is it first to you, Jake?
No, thank you, Mr. President. No, Mr. Enders is here on Hogan's behalf, Hogan Property Development Company, and we will probably need to not close, but I mean, recess the meeting of the public hearing for tonight.
Okay, all right. Let's
Justin
say
has
that.
Provided us that information. Hearing, he can present, open it up to the public for any questions, and we'll close and then reopen the normal meeting for refreshment.
All right, so I'll ask for a motion to close our regular town council meeting. We got a motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
For a motion to open up the discussion of a ordinance of vacating the public way with representation by Justin Enders.
So moved.
Got a motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved, okay.
Just your recording, you won't be up here, or should I sign where that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, who's Justin? Yeah, Justin Andrews, 126 West Spring Street, representing the petitioner Hogan Property Development. I'm here for the vacation of an alleyway, it's a 14-foot alleyway that was in a plat from 1941. Hogan is acquiring, they have the consent of Fifth Third, who's the current owner, they're acquiring the property, and the survey showed that this 14-foot alleyway goes in the middle of the property. You can see, I don't know what exactly you have, but the GIS aerial view shows the little, yeah, there's a survey as well that shows it, kind of goes in the middle of the parking lot there, that's the 14-foot alleyway we're talking about. It's reflected on our survey, maybe you can see a little easier than the overview, but it's not used for ingress or egress for anybody, there's one adjoining owner, which we noticed, pursuant to the statute, we also published notice, and provided copies of that to council. And so I don't know that there's any adjoiners affected, other than it's the property, the 329, or 392 at Indiana Avenue, is encompassed on both sides, this old alleyway from Milton Platt that I don't believe is ever vacated, since they can find no record of any vacation of it. Practically, it's not been ever used.
Used for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we have a question, you got ready?
You want my response? No, but it is, like I said, there's only one adjoining property over there, it's kind of, you know, it's not too far from here, you guys, I'm sure know exactly where it is.
Jake, we're just dealing with this property at 329.
392, I think.
392, we're just dealing with that property only, not the adjoining property, correct? Are we vacating?
We're vacating the entire myself. Well, it's a great question. It's the alleyway itself for that property is what I would state, but I would want to confirm with Mr. Andrews on exactly how much you're wanting vacated, right?
So I've only asked for it to be vacated for the property that is owned by, yeah, is owned by them, but, yeah, like I said, I'm a little, it could have been vacated at one point, just not recorded, and their survey didn't, I don't know what that is, but, yeah, it goes a little bit past the property, you know, that triangle area, so.
Do you want any utilities or anything that, well, I don't know.
Anybody else have any questions?
I have a question. Do you know what the end user is going to be?
I don't.
Do you know who the end user is not going to be?
No, I don't. I really don't, and I don't know that they do either, I asked those questions, what the end result's going to be, and they weren't, they said, we're not sure, so.
It'll be something that meets the appropriate zoning.
That's right, it will be.
So since this is an open public, I probably asked that question that I wanted to ask, as far as, there were some other people that was interested in this property, and I discussed with them, could you go back to your client and ask him if this is all approved and everything, if they would be willing to dedicate 8 to 10 feet of right-of-way and widen this road?
I will certainly ask them that.
All right.
So, and it's, can I have one of these?
You can have that.
Yeah, I'll certainly ask them that.
I mean, like I said, it would help us out, and I think probably moving forward with some other concerns, I mean, what if O'Neill Ford does relocate and move up to the highway? You know, there is a large industrial business that does have some truck traffic that goes through there. I know the bridge at some point or another is going to have to be replaced there where that creek line is back on past that property. So it would really make it a great fit of whomever this landowner becomes, if they could come to, you know, some sort of agreement, but, you know, be willing to donate that, like I said, 8 to 10 feet at the most.
I
It may not even be that much, but I'm going to say, probably would be saying that. I appreciate that. Anybody have anything else? Chick?
No, sir, just make sure I put it in your public.
All right, so I ask for a motion to close.
Right, I was asking the general public.
Oh, anybody here in the general public like to ask any questions? No. Motion to close.
So moved.
Got a motion by Scott, second by Matt. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Motion to reopen the regular session to council meeting at 6:11.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, that's second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. All right, now we go back to this.
Just address the ordinance, ordinance number 2022 OR-23.
All right, so I ask for approval.
So moved.
I'll second.
Got a motion by Scott, I have a second by Matt. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Motion to waive reading of ordinance 2022-OR.
So moved.
-023. Got a motion by Matt, I have a second by.
Second.
Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion to approve ordinance number 2022-OR-023.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, I have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
Can we get you a copy of this, are you going to?
Yeah, I'll record it.
All right. Unfinished business, conduct job classification and compensation study, FLSA announced. Charlie, I guess that's something for you?
Yes, it was tabled at the last meeting.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry, I was down with the business. Yeah, so this is that job compensation study I presented to you all at the last meeting for consideration to basically review you all, to review that three contracts, and give me a call and questions, comments related to this. Basically, y'all want to conduct this independent review of our job classifications and comparable compensation.
We got that right here in front of us, while you're reviewing them. For the amount of $21,820 plus travel expense reimbursement. Anticipated that this project can be completed in 5 to 7 months. Looks like, anyone have any thoughts or any discussion on this?
Where are they from?
Based out of Muncie, Indiana.
That's their proposal, rest accept.
I think you mentioned the last meeting, another Floyd County used.
Yeah, Floyd County used those.
Used them as well.
Took me a little bit to find somebody within Indiana that actually does this type of stuff, consistent with the public works. I've looked at a firm, actually, that City Nurseville had used. I think the primary person doing that was retiring, and they weren't taking on any new clients. This is one that Floyd County utilized, and seems to be pleased with.
Well, I think we've had this conversation before with our employees in town. While it doesn't make any promises or future promises in regards to wages, compensation, and benefits, it is us doing our due diligence to look down the road in a competitive job market to see where we stand as a town. I see it every day in the government sector, people leaving consistently in private sector jobs, they pay much, much more. They have different benefits, but, and at that, I think we want to do a good job of taking care of our current employees, make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to try and make sure that they're compensated fairly. We can't promise everybody the world, but this is a good step in the right direction to make sure that we are meeting their needs, as everybody's told. I would propose an amount, the plus travel, somewhat concerned. We're talking 5 to 7 months. What does the travel look like? Is that tolls, debt? I mean, we're at 21,000 plus travel mileage, so we have to have a not to exceed amount. I don't know what that travel mileage is. That's my only question.
A lot of this stuff, obviously, consultants will meet virtually or in person with town officials. So I mean, I think, any of that stuff we can do virtually eliminates a lot of that. Questionnaires provided for job descriptions, obviously that stuff is, department heads will be responsible for reviewing the draft job description, employees are actually completeness and be resubmitted to them. They will review the stuff, so I'm anticipating that the travel to here is potentially upon completion for rollout to you guys, and I mean, we can potentially work out, maybe do that virtually.
So I'm clear. You're writing the job description, are we just providing them our current job description and they're evaluating, or are you writing something new?
We are providing current,
okay,
what we have. And then the questionnaires will be provided to go through and say, is this what your scope of action? Obviously, with a small community like this, we have a lot of our team members grouped into a pot of team members, water team, wastewater team, streets team. Well, when you get down into those things, some of those jobs aren't necessarily a team member position because it's all encompassing. It encompasses all of what everybody in the entire department does. Well, there are specialty roles in each department. For example, on the streets team, we have guys who are doing concrete work and storm drain repair and some of these type things. And then a couple of guys, they just drive a tractor. They help out with some other things, but he's basically, Tony's basically our dedicated collections guy. When we look at the wastewater team, Jimmy Blinko, he basically is our lab tech and plant manager for the most part, doing maintenance and whatnot, where I have a couple other guys who are in the field, who do stations. I have a couple other guys who specifically, they run the camera truck and the back truck. So what their roles are within there may be a little bit different, even though they're in the overall general structure of a team member position. So what this will look at is, do we need to break those positions out to separate positions for what the responsibilities are?
Well, I think the key word that you said is team.
Yes.
Sometimes teammates are required to do or asked to do something as teammates. However, they should be compensated fairly for that. I think that's what we're trying to do here. But let's not lose sight of small community, small town, trying to take care of employees, but we still want that teamwork. I don't want people going, hey, that's not my job, but we're rock. We still have to have that team, so we have to be very careful of the wording and how and what we wish for looking down the road.
And I would agree with you on that. I mean, I think, and I'm very cognizant of that, and I think my team is too. One of the, internally, there is nothing that goes through me like a bolt of lightning, because when I hear somebody say, that's not my job, that is not tolerated here. It is your job. Your job is basically what you're told to do for the most part. Here's what your role is. If something especially comes up within the team and we need assistance, we're going to help each other. But not my job. It's not something that's
standing right. I think you've done a good job of providing that structure and the guidance, the expectations. We have very, very good employees here that I don't think it's an issue. But you never know. It's always the one person that comes along down the road that wants to put the eye on the team. I don't have any questions. I would make a motion not to exceed $25,000 that way with your travel expenses are covered. I know they put an exact number in there with the travel and stuff, but I don't know.
I agree. I think at the end of the day, I think we're just trying to, like Todd said, there are some more qualified than others at certain points. And as far as keeping those people in particular roles is what we're looking for as far as compensation. Instead of us trying to make judgment. So, I'm good. So.
Yeah, like I said, our guys, we have a really good team across the board. Tony, our trash driver, we get so many compliments on him, and he cares. And he does the best job he can do. I think he does a great job. And that's 99% of his time is what it's supposed to take. It needs to be called out within the team where the descriptions call out a little, are a little bit more focused at his role. Same thing with the water. Same thing with the water. I just want to make sure what we're doing, and I think it's important to use a third party, unaffiliated, because, you know, I think somebody that I just bring to the table, will be there to have a lot of experience on this type of thing, instead of myself or all the council sitting down and trying to fill those boxes, to look at what the comparables are, to be fair, unequivocally fair across the board on this decision.
Those comparables are positions, I would assume, just coming to towns similar in size, or, I mean, again, depending on the competition and where you go, or across the region, you're different pay scale for everyone for the same position. I think that's actually, we're just a way to see where we can be in the future. If it's not something that's going to change, we support delivering to us immediately. We have to digest it, look and see where we're succeeding, where our failures may be, try to fix those. I think that's fair to us.
Sure. And I think also, at the end of the day, probably afterwards, after all this is done with, we decide how we want to adopt it, as far as whether we want to put a handbook, or, you know, whatever else to put in it.
And a copy of the handbook is provided, as well as our salary warrants, and based on recommendations made and reviewed, based on our staff levels, what our roles are, what the roles are in general, and present to you guys, and we can talk to you about that.
All right, anybody got any other questions?
Yeah, I don't think as a town, I don't think we've ever done anything like this before, Charlie, that I can remember at any time. And then, I guess my question is it something that we're going to maybe do every 3 years, every 5 years? Is it something that needs to be, you know, I guess, you know, we have a conversation about it. Is it more than just making competitive pay for the job? Will it define jobs? Will it increase jobs? Increase jobs as far as different change in manpower or the numbers?
I don't think so. I think this is more about maybe better categorizing the positions we have. And I think also moving forward, laying out a clearer roadmap for experience levels. Licensing, things of that nature. And you figure we have a pay scale that ranges, that maxes out at $24 an hour. Most of our people are in the market. We have several people that have been here 20 years, and some of the two guys have been here almost 50 years. And, you know, their experience level versus somebody who's been here 6 months, you know, where do people fall in that category? And realistically, moving forward, with the way the job market is right now, having a very difficult time finding qualified candidates. When we start looking at comparables, you know, I don't think we're necessarily behind the eight ball, but I don't think we want to be in a position where we are on the back end of the curve, and then we legitimately cannot find qualified individuals for when we have positions that need to be filled because our compensation doesn't match competing against.
I don't know. I've been in the workforce for 21 years. I've been a consultant class member, give me a raise. You know, it's just something new. I've never been the way it is.
Well, when you look at from a public works perspective, we have multiple entities. So internally, don't necessarily want to create competition within the departments, but also when you look at the different departments that we have, the wastewater department versus neighboring wastewater departments, water utilities versus neighboring wastewater utilities, street department versus neighboring street departments, and so on and so forth down the line, to make sure that we can go through and review those things. Again, some of these things are small, some are very large. So, you know, where maybe City of Jeffersonville example in their wastewater department, they got 60 employees plus over there just in that department. And they're very categorized and structured. Here's what you're gonna make year one, here's what you're gonna make year two, here's what you're gonna make three, four, and five. You're maxed out at year five until you change job classifications with that department. Well, there's a lot of potential opportunities to move up through those departments. We have seven. Okay, so what is that, what does that look like for us? Because those seven people within our department are basically doing the job of all of the classifications. Just because we're a small utility doesn't mean those jobs don't get done. They still get done, it's just our people do a lot more. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, and looking at that, it's very difficult to start coalescing around that idea, knowing when you're looking at, especially when you're basically competing for employees at this point in time. I want to make sure that whatever it is we're doing, let's check the emotions of the door about this. Let's look at this from a data point, a fact-driven perspective. Let's take into account what the staff does, what their roles truly are within a day, within a week, within a year, within those individual departments. Compare and contrast those and see what those are, and then let's look at what the comparables are, taking those job descriptions into account. Because our job descriptions are inherently going to be different than Clarksville, than Jeffersonville, than Charlestown, City of Louisville, and some of these neighbor municipalities that realistically would probably compete for employees or let alone the private sector on top of that.
I guess it's just one of those things that I had really didn't know existed. And I think, is it something you think that we do it again 5 years down the road? We do it 3 years down the road? Is it something like that?
I think it's done periodically. I think day to day comprehensive planning and stuff of this nature, I think it's something that you need to refresh it, you need to review it, maybe get to review it. There's no need to adjust it or redo it again. To my knowledge, I'm a biker, show NCAP, show another background that I'm aware of, that anything like this has been done. I think it's a thing we've built over time. We figure when you guys came in on council, when I came on town manager, we've added staff within the departments because there's a lot of stuff that just wasn't getting done or getting addressed. And I think we got ahead of that. But now as we're continuing to move forward, how do we better structure ourselves from an efficiency standpoint, getting these things done, but also, we don't want to run into a deal where we're getting behind on staff either. Because right now, the job market is very dynamic. Anybody will tell you, especially in a hiring manager position, you're struggling to find qualified people. And qualified people it's a market that's available to them. They're starting to look.
I haven't read it all, but does it review our hiring and exit procedures?
That's separate.
Okay. That's all I had to.
Okay. Miles?
All right.
I'll second the words of the.
Okay. Got a second. Matt, do we have any more discussion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign nay. Motion approved. Thank you. All right, new business, multi-hazard mitigation plan adoption. Brian Jones is here to talk to us tonight. Good to see you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm here on behalf of Gavin, the Director of Emergency Management, for approval or adoption of the multi-hazard mitigation plan, which I think you all received electronically. It's a lengthy document. It's 280 pages or so. It's a thing that we have to basically update every 5 years. I think with COVID, it gave us another year or two before we update it. But I'll go over the process fairly quick, and I can email you this, Charlie, you can email out. It's a PowerPoint that we're using. I thought Gavin sent that, I guess he didn't. But I don't have anything. The overview of the multi-hazard mitigation plan process is basically serves as a guide for the assessment of hazards and risk in the county, and basically, I guess, kind of jump through a little bit. We had several meetings. Charlie attended, I think, all the meetings. We had somebody from all the towns and cities and county government, and the school corporations have to be a part of that as well. It basically incorporates a wide range of stakeholders and public in the planning process. It aids the county, cities, towns, and districts in preventing, protecting against, responding to, and recovering from disasters. And it addresses specific strategies to mitigate the potential impact of these disasters. So there's different things in there about flooding and, and mitigate the flooding before it happens and some plants. And all this basically revolves around trying to get FEMA funding. Without this approval, you basically, I mean, and you wouldn't be available for FEMA funding. So it includes both natural and human hazards. It's supposed to assist in reducing effects of disasters. It reduces harm to existing and future development and reduces the cost of disaster response and recovery. I have a list of the planning team here, which there's, this is the team, which Charlie was on the planning team, but there were several other stakeholders involved in the planning. I mean, again, some, the Jeff City had, you know, three or four different people there. And I think, Charlie, you brought a couple, somebody with you one time, or the fire, Amir was there from the fire department. So it's, there was a wide range of people, and it was actually kind of encouraging, or to me, that the amount of people that showed up and participated. Usually, you know, in the past, meetings like this was ill-attended, and we really had a lot of involvement, and there was 30 or so people at most of those meetings, which also helped in our cost for this, because there was a matching grant we got to do this plan, and with those people there, we can utilize their salaries for the soft match. We was not out any money at all to get the plan completed. So basically, plan adoption or approval of the plan, it's, you know, the plan's approved by FEMA, just pending adoption by all the stakeholders that have to adopt it. So the plan's already been sent to FEMA. We worked with the Polis Center and IU to put the plan together. They've already presented to FEMA. It's already been approved. Now, to get it finally, the final approval, it has to be adopted by all the, you know, government entities and the school systems. Again, each participating jurisdiction is required to adopt the plan in order to receive any FEMA grant assistance. And it basically ensures compliance with the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000. So, and that's, I mean, that's pretty much it on our end. I did give Jake I guess a generic copy of the resolution that you all can adopt. And again, it is lengthy. If you look over it, you have any questions, contact, I mean, me or Gavin, you know, we could probably answer those. It's, but again, it is, you know, involves the schools and every, you know, municipality. So it's got a lot of information in there to look over. You've probably looked over it, I'm guessing, Charlie, so you kind of know it's, there's a lot of stuff in there. Any questions you have, just reach out. Now, as far as adopting it, do we need to come back to the next meeting, or is that something you all can do without us here? Or?
We can do without, without you being here. And if there's any questions, they can get to me or Charlie or just to you.
Yeah, just reach out. We'll answer whatever. I'll come to every meeting before you call me.
Just a couple of questions. I know the answers to these questions, but for those listening at home or who may not know, by signing this agreement or entering this agreement, Sellersburg is a small town, doesn't have the resources regionally. You guys do a fantastic job. Most people probably haven't even heard of Clark County Emergency Management. I think you guys have done a fantastic job the last couple of years, in not just here at Sellersburg, but in other towns and out in the county as well. So when a natural disaster or something does occur, what you're going to see is a lot of resources being pulled from around the county, around the state, to assist us when we have these incidents. God forbid, we probably never have one. But that's where you guys come into play. We don't lose any decision-making power in the town of Sellersburg. You're here to help us.
Absolutely.
So there's one of the narratives that will be out there as well. FEMA's going to come in. They're going to take over everything. We're going to be handcuffed and not. We'll still have decision-making power when it comes to how the residents get served.
Well, absolutely. And this really, I mean, this here is just a piece to get grants and for funding when that does happen. But yeah, all the decisions still is handled at the local level. We would basically just, it's emergency management, I guess, we come in to assist. We're just an assisting agency that comes in to help provide resources and manage the long-term deal. We would be there through response, recovery, the whole deal. But yeah, again, because the majority of it would be, all decisions are at the local level.
And it's just good to explain this when people hear these things. They hear multi-hazard mitigation plan. Most people wouldn't know what that entails until something actually happens.
Sure, so absolutely.
I appreciate you coming here, taking the steps to, and Charlie, going to meetings to make sure the town's covered in the event that we ever have to push that button and say, hey, we need that outside.
Yeah, hopefully you never need anything. If I don't, never do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else?
Jake will probably reach out with these things.
Thank you.
And it was a very interesting set of meetings over here that I'd never considered. I mean, things like, I mean, I thought through this and
here with the tri-town to discuss it, which is way on out for the police department. And what happens if there's a train derailment in Salisbury? What does that look like? What's that response look like? What if the dam at Deans Lake broke? I mean, these are things that are discussed in these meetings, things that hopefully would never happen and most people would never think about. I mean, never once in my mind, it never crossed my mind about the dam at Deans Lake busting and how that potentially could affect us. Because we are potentially downstream. So.
It's been in the remarks last week. Everybody's making jokes about the eggs. What was that anhydrous ammonia? Now you have people in here that are taking the steps and measures to make sure we're taken care of. Outstanding.
Correct. So I mean, it was very eye-opening for me. I mean, obviously in my position, I think, you know, tornadoes and flooding and things of that nature. But we also, again, we have utilities. You know, from a utility response, wastewater or water. You know, an unfortunate act with a water tower, from whether it be terrorists or a tornado. I mean, things of that nature that I'm glad EMA's there and this plan is there. And so it's very eye-opening for me for things that, more things that keep me up at night. I appreciate that.
More words, right?
Yeah, you know, but yeah, so I do have the document here as far as all the tenants that, you know, you all can copy on as well. So we can take the draft that ordinance and look at it next meeting. For you guys to approve. And again, if you have any questions, you know, you reach out to EMA and I'd be glad to help and lift and discuss any of that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, our next is the 2019 Ram purchase. There was a need for a truck in the streets of sanitation. John, I want to keep going. Need for a another truck in the streets of sanitation. I have got Bill a little bit short. I think we had another couple of things we tossed around and the work pathway was. So we've got three different prices from the same different ones. There was 40, 23, and 5280. 21, one was from John Jones, those from Montgomery, Chrysler, and Jim O'Neill Ford. Happened to have one that was traded in by a very well-known used car dealer for years and years, Jim Fulcher. And it was priced at 51.7. And so it had a three-year, 36,000-mile warranty, bumper to bumper with it, along with the powertrain. Still available, only had 30,000 miles, and so this was a great opportunity for us to also put a truck in the streets of sanitation that we wanted, and then also to go on ahead and replace that with that for a charge to be able to drive. So I don't know if there's any other questions or anything about it, but I just ask for a motion to approve the purchase order from Jim O'Neill Ford for.
Right.
$51,000.
And where it will be paid from?
So it'll be paid from out of sewer, water, and
local with the streets, right?
Well, now that they changed today, water?
No. Local with the streets. So I think what ended up happening, we ended up moving the trucks around.
Yeah.
So the street, the water guy. Water wanted to stretch the truck on the streets, get the way toolboxes are. And then the water guy stayed with them. So I think we paid out the water.
You're going to have to do a transfer from departments.
Within the vehicle, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's an asset.
Yeah.
Can we pay?
So the new, who's using the new truck? No.
His old
your
truck.
Old truck.
Water.
So you're giving your old truck to water.
Water's given.
And water's given.
Well, it could be a wash.
So it was, okay.
Could it be a wash and they right, take it out of the streets or not?
Yeah.
Take it all out of water? Okay. All right, so we're just replacing one with another. So the $51,700 will be taken out of the water. And I guess I ask for the motion for that purchase and that be taking place.
So
a motion by Scott. Second.
Second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion?
This was the lowest of the three bids?
Yes.
And 2019?
Yes, and all of the other two was also 2019. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. All right. October County Council meeting, date change. I believe we are going to have just one meeting in October, the October the 17th, at 6 o'clock, standard time, as always. And I don't know if there's anything else that we need to add to that.
So just vote on it, modifying and canceling the other.
So I ask for a motion to cancel the two meetings, I guess it'll be the 10th and the 24th, May meetings, and in exchange for the October 17th meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Scott, second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
So the only thing that is going to be, that's planning commission tonight, EZA, and fair.
We're going to move into the...
The Tuesday.
They can either go to the first, the Tuesday, the Monday, the second, or they can go to the Tuesday of that month.
Can they meet over there?
Huh?
Can they meet over there?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, great idea. Okay, yeah. We can have the, continue to have the BZA and the planning, yeah, we can figure it out. Yeah, because planning will be a five, so yeah, we're okay. So, that'd be great. Great idea, thank you, Chuck. All right. Couple of comments from the public. Bad reports, Sean?
Just a reminder, this week, on the 15th, which will be Thursday night here in this room, starting at 5:30, we will have NDOT and their consultant Shrewsbury Engineering out of Indianapolis coming down to do a public informational session related to the project on 31. Starting next year, along the way to rehab. So 5:30 to 6 will be questions, general topic, conversation time with the consultants that are here. They'll have some boards and different things put up showing the project and the scope of the project. Again, at 6 p.m., they will be doing a video presentation, whatever that means. We've been working with our new camera system and sound system here, and I think we were able to record that video presentation. Because again, I don't know what format they're going to have within that, so I don't necessarily want to get into a Facebook Live situation, but I believe we're going to be able to at least record the video presentation that runs through the camera system so that we can save it and publish it on YouTube for review later. So that is the 15th, beginning at 5:30 here. September 21st, we have the police station ribbon cutting there at the police station, 5:30. Once we do get through the ceremonial part of that and the ribbon cutting portion, and that's complete, the police department, police officers there will be doing guided tours to the new station until about 7:30. Every 15 minutes, there'll be a new tour. Just come to the front door at the station there, and they'll escort you through the building. You can see the facilities and what that building looks like and how it's being utilized for the community there. Want to give a thanks publicly to Neil and Patty as they're donating a some desserts for that event. So I appreciate Neil and Patty donating that to the department for that. So I look forward to seeing you and any of the members of the community who are interested there. We're going to be announcing our October hydrant flushing next week or two. As you know, we've switched over to a semi-annual hydrant flushing twice a year. We'll go out, we should do one in the spring, we should do one in the fall. It helps obviously address the historic groundwater issues that we've not had. So we want to stay ahead of that. So we'll have our fall hydrant flushing in October. Also, we're working through the fall clean week in October. So as you know, typically what we would do is allow people to come to the sewer plant, these dumpsters,
spring and fall with the construction down there. The place is a little bit of a disaster, so now the transfer station is open on 403, so we're trying to work out a deal with the transfer station so people can be able to just drive right in, dump whatever it is on the pad, the covered area there, get it worked out for the fall clean week at the transfer station.
Wait, get an answer yet?
I don't. I hope to have an answer this week, so we're working with them right now on that.
So we'll definitely let everyone know by next meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I hope to have it posted here later this week on social media. We kicked around doing a dumpster weekend, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just put dumpsters around town. I welcome your counsel on that. I'm kind of thinking away from that because I don't know where to put it, but we don't have a lot of public private way places that I would feel really comfortable putting dumpsters and having a bunch of people have their dump stuff in dumpsters over the weekend in different neighborhoods around town. So I think the transfer station is going to be a benefit for us as a community. The Parks Board meeting tomorrow evening, working through what we're going to do for Christmas, trying to get all that finalized. I think that's all I have for now.
What was the
show me questions? September 21st will be next Wednesday, a week from this Wednesday.
Time? All day?
5:30 to approximately 7:30. So I'd like to get to the, obviously with you guys there, we have Senator Garten is committed, State House Representative Karen Engelman is committed, State House Rep Zach Payne is committed. I've not heard back from our state senator's office, Chris's office, the state senator, Indiana senator, and I think they're in session. So I did hear back from Congressman Hollingsworth's office that they'll be in D.C. for our session that week. So I'm just going to hear back. Y'all with council, Steve Tripp is committed to that, so hopefully have a nice little crowd there to come celebrate.
Exactly what though, right?
Sir. Anybody have any questions? John? Okay. Got Ms. Lori White tonight from JTL.
I don't really have any major updates unless you guys have questions about anything.
Okay, as you note that she did hand us out some information here, so like everything is continuing to go smooth.
Yep.
Appreciate everyone's hard work. Over on Bean Road to be able to get that taken care of. So I really, they did a great job. So, and I appreciate what JTL has done to help us out on that. So,
where are we at with the Camp Run Parkway project? I know the asphalt is laid up on there this night. But specifically, what percentage of the project are we at?
I would have to double check to give you a percentage, but I can. I know that they've been making very good progress, and that I believe that they are going to be. I know we have inspectors out there going out and making sure everything is good, and I think that they were just out, and so yeah, the curbs and gutters and medians have been installed, so we should be really close.
Sidewalks.
Sidewalks. Right, I were out there last week. They were installing sidewalks.
Charlie and I, we went out there Thursday, watched them finish up on the stamping.
Ours was 75%.
So at this point in time, the asphalt, all the subgrade.
Second layer of asphalt.
Yeah, so right now we're just, all the subgrade asphalt's there, concrete's there, we're finishing sidewalks. We've got some decorative stamping that's going on for that. They were backfilling some landscape areas. We're going to hold off, I think they're going to hold off until October to do the plantings, when they do the plantings for the trees and whatnot through there. And then once the plantings are complete, they'll come back and do the final layer of asphalt and street markings, parking spots, that type thing. RMC, I met them out there last week to discuss lighting, get the lighting all lined out and everything for that. So they're going to move forward on that. I think the outstanding item is when is the NDOT project, portion of this project going to kick off.
That's a traffic.
That is a traffic control on 60. Mm-hmm. So they're adding light in the turn lanes there.
The holdup on that one is utility relocates. So if the utilities can get done, there, I think, it's still an opportunity. Maybe we can start that this fall. No promises is what I've been told, but if AT&T can get their equipment moved, we may have an opportunity to start that sooner than later, but the clock's ticking on that one. I did see them out there this morning doing some relocations for that. But they work on a national outage percentage on how much they can take down at the time to relocate fiber optic. So they're waiting on that.
Thank you, Charlie. I noticed here it says the contractor will then be 16 Utica Street. I'm just reading off the paper that provided to me. To discover the cause of the house flooding issue. Resolved. Well, my question would be, what was the cause of the house flooding? Does anyone know?
Oh, so that was, that should be
completed. That's under CCMG first.
Yeah, that was, that was last year CCMG stuff. So there was, there was like weak line or something that came out from under the house. That Utica Street is Oak Clay Pike, and when they put the new sidewalk in, I think it had some issue when they put the new sidewalk in, so it got corrected. So that was last year's CCMG, so we're into the next one.
I'll read the rest later. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Jake?
Yes, sir. Just two quick items. By the update, earlier you wrote your budget workshop. I was meeting with JPL regarding the requirements for redistricting. We hope to have some potential examples of what it could look like here at the next meeting. You know, with Silversburg's boundaries and requirements to try not to break down the census tracts in U.S., you know, in the other voter precincts, it's a little challenging with how, you know, the core boundary of town is set up. So we're going to give you all some options to look at the next meeting and kind of go from there in October. The last thing, I know it's been a topic of conversation about potential need for a right-of-way there in front of Lakeside Estates. And we have an exhibit that I forwarded to everybody that we have discussed. And with your permission to move forward underneath NDA Code 3224.1 to try to purchase this property, there will again have an official vote. And then I will move forward and make contact with the property owner.
I'll make that motion.
Okay,
motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Terry. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, name. Motion approved.
And I'll just update you as I move forward there.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Nothing
else. Thank you. All right. Terry, you want to go first tonight?
No, actually, I had three questions for tonight. All three of them have been addressed, so I'm good to go. Thank you.
Scott?
A couple things. I appreciate y'all. I know you put a long day in today with the budget workshop and Jake's update. So just happy to be here. Tomorrow's a good night. I know you guys have been anticipating it's great for representing the town. For a great cause, so I'm looking forward to it. I can't promise any wins, but since this is Title Town,
I'm
all right.
Matt?
Nope, I'm
good.
Andy? Just always gratitude to the people that work here, keep the town going every day, and somebody's always, eyes and ears are always watching 24 hours a day, and it's nice to have the workforce that we have. And I think the document there that bid for Charlie moving forward and be a progressive thing on our employment, and I'm happy and excited about that. And just thankful to be here. Appreciate being able to serve. That's all I have, Brad.
I had a couple of other things, Charlie, you might have missed on. Got the street dance. The American Legion is this coming October the 1st. At the American Legion, we had the American Classic Car Show at noon.
10 to 2.
attended from 10 to 2. Got an entry fee, $10. New Washington State Bank is going to bring the fun bus, handing out some free ice cream to the kids of all ages from 11 to 1. Also have the American Legion Riders hosting a poker run that they're having, but the great thing is we have three great bands, music of all day, looks like. So hopefully the weather will be as nice as it's going to be this coming weekend. But you have the Outbreak Band from 1 to 2, and then the Juice Box Band from 3 to 6, and then the town's favorite vocals, the Rumors, from 7 to 11. So, it's open to the public. It's hosted by our Parks Department as well as the American Legion, and we appreciate everybody's helping out and enjoying the fun. I know last year, I think, probably about 650 people probably was in attendance, and I hope it will grow a little bit more. I know, like I said, they're trying to bring in music and for all ages throughout the day, and we're talking about the Golden Rock.
Yeah, so Creek Elementary School. Yeah. If you find a Golden Rock around town, Silver Creek Elementary, I believe, is the one doing it. Teachers over there, I think this month is Child Cancer Awareness Month. So they're doing How to Rock around town, Gold Rocks the kids have made. So if you see a Gold Rock there, maybe take a picture with it, tag it on social media, and rehide it somewhere. Not sure where they are, but I was told they were being hid around town.
Okay. All right, looks like also here this coming week, Silver Creek High School's got a homecoming parade. It's Thursday, September the 15th, 5 o'clock, line up Haas Cabot. Parade begins at 6. Looks like the parade route will go down Utica Street to Dryer Lane to East St. Joe Road and end up at the Silver Creek High School parking lot. It has some food trucks to be set up, purchase some foods at the end of the parade. So it looks like that's going to be a fun, exciting thing that they have going on. So hopefully, people will be able to go and enjoy that, and after that they'll want to come and spend the evening with us here with NDOT on the public information meeting that we're going to be having. So everybody, it's a fun-filled eventful day, it looks like. So, once again, we continue to do, I think, what's best for the town in every way, shape, or form. Like I said, Charlie and I, we was out there at the new road as much as Terry and I was. This is an exciting tool and an opportunity for developers in our community to come and look at what we have. So hopefully we'll have some opportunities here coming up soon to be able to view some of that property. Just also keep in mind that we are working with NDOT on another exciting adventure in that, and with a $2.4 million road improvements and a stoplight. So, I know last Thursday, from a safety standpoint, there was a kind of a bad wreck there coming out of St. Joe on the 60, and so I just kind of glad everybody be aware, you got to watch what's really going on when you're coming out of that road. So I know not just us, the town and the county and the state also are working on a light opportunity, temporary for now, but safety is always our concern. Like I said, make sure you show up and come in and see the new police department. That, we've got a lot of exciting things. It's great to see the new lights and everything that we've got coming up soon. So I'm excited about that. Other than that, I think that's all I have. Michelle, do you have anything to add? Okay. All right. With that said, I ask for adjournment.
Okay.
Got a motion by Scott to have a second. Second by Matt. All in favor say aye. 7 o'clock.